Patrick Anderson, founder, CEO of Anderson Economic Group, joins us. Patrick, always a pleasure. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
No surprises here. Oil prices rose yesterday. The stock market dropped. All of this on news of the ceasefire ending. This has been a roller coaster. Yeah, I haven't seen what's happening today. Do you know offhand?
Yeah, I mean, prices are the oil prices are higher, but they, you know, they dropped in the last couple hours. I mean, but it's a situation where we went from a war and you know, shooting at tankers to an agreement, not a treaty, just a temporary memorandum of understanding, and now the president saying somewhat laconically he considers it over, as literally as ships are burning and as missiles are flying. So it is definitely over if you are looking at it in the normal way you would look at it, a memorandum of understanding, especially one that has a specific paragraph that says we'll have free movement of ships through the state's Straits of Hormuz.
So clearly some people have made hundreds of millions of dollars on, I'm going to hope it's just betting on one way or another and the timing of what's going on. I pray we're not going to find out that people had inside information and used all of these ups and downs, and there have been so many of them, with the whims and decisions being made in this so-called war.
I sure hope so, but I will say it's not as if this is easy stuff to trade and you can sit in your basement and all of a sudden buy a tanker and then sell it tomorrow. This is, you know, I haven't done that. I mean, these are all kinds of really specific types of oil. Dubai crude, Indian basket crude, Mexican basket crude, WTI crude and Brent crude, and, you know, the ones to look at, of course, WTI is West Texas Intermediate, so I always look there because that's basically American crude. And then Brent crude means the price typically that Europe is paying. And the Brent crude right now has opened up quite a big increase, which shows, I mean, basically you can look here, it's over $4 a barrel difference. Essentially, that is $4 a barrel because the United States has done a great job of becoming almost energy independent, whereas Western Europe has not done a good job and actually made themselves more energy vulnerable.
You know, you say almost energy independent. We were being led to believe that we were energy independent. We also were led to believe that oil moving in and out of the Strait of Hormuz would really not be oil that we were needing and wanting, but the rest of the world. But how could this war, firing back up again, affect the world's oil supply once again? Or did enough ships get through for the minutes seemingly they were allowed to get through there that we can hold off some problems for a while?
We're not holding off problems for very long. Our stockpiles are down. Our strategic petroleum reserve, which the Biden administration drained a lot out of in the hopes that it would hide the inflation that was hitting oil prices, is now lower. So we're not completely energy independent. We are very insulated compared to Western Europe. And I give all of our friends working in oil and gas, as well as the people who were policymakers that made it easier for us to drill and refine here in the United States for that. But we're not completely insulated. And when you have so much of the world's oil going through one place and you have a combatant in a hot war shooting at those ships, you are, in fact, going to have price spikes, difficulty in getting supply. That is going to affect the United States, but much, much more affecting other countries.
Patrick Anderson, founder and CEO of Anderson Economic Group. What do you think is going to be happening as a lot of people are taking a look at the Federal Reserve and wondering what their next move would be? What would you like it to be?
I think this Federal Reserve under the new chairman is doing exactly what they should. I was quite impressed with how Kevin Warsh had handled his first meeting. He said exactly the right number of things and exactly the way that he should. He's cutting back on some of the excessive rhetoric and a little bit, I'll say, of showboating that was happening. And he's indicating a strong direction. Now, right now, the president's giving him lots of room, saying, okay, you're the new person. You need to get a handle on this. But while we have this kind of pressure going on with oil prices, it's going to be really hard to reduce rates. So I'm not expecting we're going to see any rate reductions anytime soon, despite the fact that this Federal Reserve chairman and a lot of other folks would like them to go down.
I give Kevin Warsh a lot of credit. I don't know him at all, have never heard of him, never followed him, blah, blah, blah. But what I did expect was, after watching what the president had done with the last Federal Reserve chairman, I give Kevin Warsh an award for great intestinal fortitude to not feel pressured into lowering the rate because he knew the president desperately wanted him to do that.
Absolutely, and that's one of the reasons you and I are on the same page again. He did his job. If you're a Fed chairman, number one part of your job is maintaining the independence and credibility of a Federal Reserve system. That's to the benefit of the entire United States and much of the world, and that means you are going to be in a collision course with people running for office or people who are political appointees. That is a certain, and you need to stand up and articulate that your job is to keep inflation down, not to increase the chances that people from one party or another get elected in the next election.
Well, and frankly, I mean, personally, I want him to lower rates because I'm trying to sell a house, and it's much more difficult given the market and the interest rates and everything else. But I understand he's doing what he believes, and apparently you, Patrick, believe is the right thing. So that's the way it is. That's the way we look at it. Anything else we need to know, Patrick?
Well, it's still much better to be in the United States than anywhere else.
Oh my God. I was
You and I have
lamenting.
this discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again, though, because there are so many people, many Democrats, many liberals, many kids who just don't get it. I thought for sure they'd learn something from all the people coming into America for the football, for the World Cup. They love America. They can't believe we are as good as we are as a country and as a people. And they say they were fed a bunch of malarkey from the world news media, and they have. You would think that some of that would capture the attention of these people who aren't proud to be an American, who don't think or hope that America will be here in 250 years. I mean, I told the story in my Detroit News column. I think I wrote this already, that, you know, I do it online, so I get a thing that says I won $8 in the lottery, and I go, boy, there again, I can't win at the lottery. Then I thought I won the best lottery in the world. I was born in America.
Yeah, if you're born in America, you won a wonderful lottery. And yeah, all you have to do is look at those tourists that came over and, you know, hey, Americans are free. Hey, there's law and order here. Hey, we can say things about political people without being afraid of a knock on the door. I mean, this is wonderful freedom. We can get a job. I mean, thank goodness for the United States of America. Happy Independence Day 250, Paul W.
Oh, God bless you, Patrick. I love you. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day.